from Joshua chapter 4. Well, we're going to be looking at the whole book of Joshua chapter 4. But I'm going to call on Sister Leslie, who is going to come and read Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9 for us. Sister Leslie is going to come and read Joshua chapter 4, 1 to 9 for us. If you don't have a Bible or you didn't bring your Bible, there's one under the seat in front of you. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Joshua 4, verses 1 through 9, the memorial stones. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from among the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, saying, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Amen.
Shall we please pray? Father, Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are a God that reveals yourself to your people. You are a God that cares for your people. You are a God that delivers. You are a God that is at work in our life and in our world today. We yield to you and we surrender to you. This morning, we pray that you, who is God, will take absolute control of our time together. We pray you will speak to us. And Lord, I humble myself to you that today you shall use me to speak to your people today. Spirit of our living God, my teacher, my encourager, my guide, help me today. Give me clarity of thought and heart that your people might get that which you have for them today. We pray that you release us all from anything that will hinder us from hearing you today, Lord God. We bless you. We exalt you. Lord Jesus, be lifted up among us. Be magnified among us. Be praised among us. You have your way, we say. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. This morning, I'm speaking on the subject, remember. I'm speaking on the subject, remember. We see in this passage here, I mean, when you read the whole book of Joshua, it's very amazing with a lot. But the verse 1 to 9, as Sister Leslie read for us, thank you so much, Sister Leslie, for reading for us. You can tell and you see how God gave instructions to Joshua on what to do in terms of helping the people of Israel to remember what he had done for them. And so the question here would, as anyone would ask, what did God do for them? What has God done for them? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back, even beyond then, to before creation. God loved us and he created us as human beings. And the word of God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we, in that alone, we have to thank God that he created us in the form of his image, and he placed a price on us. He made us so important. Psalms tell us, saying that, what is man that God loves him so much or cares about him so much? God cares about us, and that in itself is what moves him to do things for us. His love and his care for us. We are very special and unique to him. But God, in his own mind, chose to come to the father called Abraham. Abraham, God came to him and said, I want to begin a whole generation of my people with you. Because this time, there was a lot of sin in the world, and everybody was doing what they wanted to do. And God wanted to correct that. So he came to Abraham. And through Abraham, God raised up a mighty nation, today called Israel. And during this time, Israel went into captivity, cutting the story short, for years in Egypt. And during that time of slavery in Egypt, God always promised them a promised land. And so God, in the end, sent his servant Moses to go and bring his people out of the land of Egypt into the promised land that he had promised Abraham to give unto them. And so Moses did that. Moses went to get them. He went with them through the desert. And for years, because of their own mistakes, made God very angry, and God took them around the desert for 40 good years, making sure that he changed an entire generation before he crossed over into the promised land. And so Joshua now becomes the person, the leader of the new generation that God is going to use to cross the River Jordan. The people of Israel were now at the edge of crossing. God had taken them out of slavery. God had protected them. God did a lot to bring them to the place of crossing. And before they crossed, God tells Joshua what to do, so that they will remember what he's doing. The word of God tells us that at this point, as the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God step into the water parted into two for them to walk on dry ground into their promised land. What a miracle God performed. And God initiates a step to cause them to remember. And so the writer starts by saying, when all the people had completed crossing over the Jordan, this reminds us that Israel was now on the other side of the Jordan, in the promised land. But what is life in the promised land like? Is it one glorious vacation time after another? No. For Israel, the battle was just beginning. See, as they were going into their promised land, it wasn't that the promised land didn't have anything. The promised land had people who were living in the land already, and Israel is coming saying, this is our land and we are coming to claim it. And so there was battle that was going to be fought. After all the battles that they had fought, after all the tiredness that they've gone through, after all the hassles that they've had to go through, they had to go and fight for the land that God had promised them to give them. It wasn't going to be an easy task. But you see, the people of Israel had to learn to trust God. They had to learn to trust God. And this morning, I want to use this opportunity to remind you that USA as it is now, many has also fought the battle in earning our democratical freedom that we have today. Many have fought. Many men and women have lost their life to give us that which we are enjoying today. But you see, the fight is still not over. The battle, today being Memorial Weekend, Memorial Sunday, I'm sure some people are plotting and planning their barbecues and vacations. Some have already flown to places where they can go and have fun and enjoy Memorial Weekend. The summer has started. Yes. Oh, what barbecue are you doing? Have you bought ribs? Have you bought burger? Have you bought? I bet you all the. I'm sure some cows and sheep have been even running from their farm because Memorial Day is coming. The chickens in the farm are like, man, let's find an escape. Memorial Weekend is coming. You can also imagine what forms of sins are being plotted on this weekend. You see, but what USA have to not forget is that the battle is not finished. And in us being able to continue in this battle, we need to remember to trust God. We need to remember to trust God that He will take us through. Those people who fought before understood this. And that is what made them get up to fight for our freedom. That nobody should be controlled by another person. The basis of the reason to fight for our freedom, democratical freedom, you being able to say what you think and I being able to speak what I think, was the basis that God has not put us under a curse of fear, under a curse of control by other people. He has called us to a relationship with Him, to love Him and to fear Him. And it is only God we have to fear. And so when someone comes and wants to attack your freedom of worship, your freedom of voice, your freedom of livelihood, you got to begin to also stand up and say, no, this is not what God wants for me. And they fought and won this freedom for us, and the battle is still not finished. And we need to remember to trust God, because we have to continue the battle. The Christians then fought the battle, and today we must also fight the battle. And so as they go, God initiates this thing of remembering. He tells Joshua to pick up 12 stones from the bedrock, from the very river that they are crossing. The ground has now been cleared for them. Each person of each of the tribes, the 12 tribes, should pick up a stone and carry it across. And then when they cross, they should keep that stone in memory of what He has done for them. Begin to trust God wherever you are, whatever battle you're going through. Begin to trust Him. It may not be comfortable now, but trust God who has brought you this far. Trust Him. Then He goes ahead. Take yourselves. And so they took the stones. And then He goes ahead, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come. The purpose of this memorial was so that the people of Israel could teach their children about the great things God had done, so that the work of God would not be forgotten among generations. You see, Memorial Day as I did my introduction before, I talked about how cows and chickens and goats and probably sheep are running from their farms because some barbecue is going to be made and they don't want to be captured in the barbecue attack. It is not about the barbecues. The Memorial Day is not about the barbecue. It is not about the family members that you meet and kiss on the cheeks and talk about your whole entire life together. It's not about that. And God points also here why they should remember that he had brought them through their slavery and was taking them into their promised land. And apart from them trusting him, they have to begin to teach their younger ones how to continue to remember and be grateful to him for what he has done for them. Today, how many children in our world know the God that we serve? Many Christian homes are Christian homes, but the children do not know God. Apart from teaching God, teaching our younger ones who God is, how he loves us and he cares for us, we have to also remember that today, as we are talking about Memorial Sunday, the memorial season is not for partying. It, in as much as we are coming together and we are getting some good time and celebrating, we need to remember to remind our children of the price that has been paid for us. Remember to remind the younger ones of the price. Not just the price of our military men and women who have sacrificed to win this democratic freedom for us, but the price that the Lord Jesus has also won for you and I. Never forget, when you are eating that best barbecue from that guy who always does the best barbecue in the family, to begin to gather the young ones and tell them why the gathering is, that people fought to give us freedom. And as Christians, Jesus came to die for you and I. Don't forget that. Remember the sacrifice. God is teaching them to become people that will remember the sacrifice. So Joshua called the 12 and he told them to pick up stones and do this. But you know what? Come with me in the verse 9. Come with me in the verse 9. Come with me in the verse 9, please. And then you see at the second part, Joshua, after he had told the 12 to set up the stones, to pick up the stones, he himself also went and he picked up 12 stones and he created a monument in the middle of the river that was parted. He created his own rock over there. And you see, when I was studying on this passage, I said to myself, why is Joshua doing what God has asked him to do? He's being obedient to it. But he also begins to pick up 12 stones and he creates his own monument in the river. You see, when the river, and anyone that has lived by river before knows this, there are drought seasons. And so when the drought season comes, the water dries out. And then you can see the bed of the river and all that. Sometimes it doesn't dry up, but the water goes very low. And so Joshua puts up these stones in the middle of the river to remind his people, when the drought season comes and there is no water for us to drink, you will see and remember that our Lord God led us through this way. You see, this is a sign to you and I that when we are there is a time when we have comfort, but when the drought season comes in your life, when a time comes in your life when it is very hard and difficult to remember that God took me through a certain process. God did certain things for me. Begin to remember the good days so that in the bad days, you can still go through that hard time. You see, today, children of God, and as we are all seated here, must begin to teach our young ones that our older people fought the freedom for us. Today, we are fighting a different kind of battle in our world and in our nation. That doesn't mean that we cannot be victorious in this way too. We need to begin to remember. And if you are seated here and you have lost hope in the strength of USA, if you have lost courage in what you believe America is supposed to be about, I want to encourage you to remember that today might not be the America you think was 120 years ago, but you can believe God that if he took America through that time, he can take us through this difficult time too. And even in your own personal life, whatever difficult moment you are going through now, remember the good days, the good times, the joyful times that God took you through so that you can go through this time. Today, USA, as people talk of it, as if we are a nation that does not have any strength. It is not true. We serve a living God. The God of America is not dead. And as children of God come together and we begin to seek him and remember those times that he gave our forefathers the strength to fight, he will give us the strength to also fight this battle. This battle of division, this battle of racism, this battle of whatever you think is going on in this nation will not overwhelm us in Jesus' mighty name. But you see, this brings us to the 10 to 18 part of this passage, where the priest played an important role in the crossing of the river. The verse 10 points out, so the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. You see, there was a physical battle that had to be fought. And so you would find that even those who were content with settling on the other side of the river still sent their military men, to go with those who are crossing to go and fight. 40,000 strong army to go into the promised land ahead of everybody to fight. But where the military people were going in, the spiritual people were still standing in the river. In the first place, it took the spiritual people to step their foot in the river for the river to part. And the spiritual people had to keep standing until every soul had passed and crossed through the river. You and I, who are the spiritual people who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, cannot stop interceding and praying and playing our role in this nation. Until the spiritual battle is won, the physical will never be won. Our military men are doing everything. They are training, they are practicing, they are preparing. Our police is doing all that they can do. All the intelligence services are gathering the information. Everybody is playing their role. And you and I, as the church, cannot sit on the fringes watching while the unbeliever prepares to go and fight for us. We have to begin the spiritual battle. We have to fight the fight. We have to pray in the name of Jesus. We have to rise and stand in prayer. If we do not pray, the victory we are hoping for and seeking will never come to pass. And so today, you are good at criticizing. Some of us are so good at criticizing everything our leaders are doing. Child of God, it is good to observe wrong, but don't become a critic. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord God, intervene. Lord God, intervene. Lord God, intervene. Lord God, intervene. Keep praying, and God will come to the aid of USA. God will move in our land. God will take absolute control of affairs in this land. When you read 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, the word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Their land. This weekend is not for chilling. This weekend is for remembering things. But as you remember, be prepared, be ready, be willing to fight the fight. You are a spiritual person. And you see, this does not only end in you as an American praying for your nation. It ends with you as an American praying for your family, praying for your children. Whatever battle it is, you've got to pray. You have to play your spiritual responsibility. You have to play your spiritual role. If you neglect the spiritual role, the word of God says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and authorities we do not know of. Child of God, pray in the name of Jesus. Pray. Pray for your community. Pray for the well-being of your children. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray that your marriage be better. Fight the good fight in prayer. Fight in prayer. Just as this priest played their role, you and I can begin to play our spiritual role. You see, fathers here, you play important roles. Mothers here, you play important role. You are spiritual people and you have a spiritual responsibility. If we refuse to do this, the battle will not be won spiritually. And if the battle is lost spiritually, it will never manifest physically. So pray. So pray. And so you see that in the verse 19 to 20, the stones are set up as a memorial in Gilgal. Now the people set up the memorial. You see, we've got to become people who do not forget. Many Christians are walking about on the surface of this earth, always going on about how they thank God for where he has brought them from, what he's doing in their life, what he's done in their life, and all that. That is one reason to thank God for. But sometimes we also forget that God brings people our way to be a blessing to us. Never forget. And those forefathers who fought and have won our freedom. Today there are so many memorial cemeteries. I'm not saying go to the cemetery and mourn a dead or no, no. I'm saying that reflect. Take a moment and sit down and reflect on the price that people paid so that you don't begin to live a life of ungratefulness. Unappreciating people. There are so many Christians. We claim that we are Christians, we know God, but we are so unappreciative. Our agenda is totally opposite to what God would want to do in this country. Wherever you come from and wherever you have come from, as you saw us read before in Jeremiah, we are supposed to wish the well-being of our land. So remember these people. Remember the sacrifice. Remember the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. Begin to make decisions that allows you to gain favor with the Lord and to be on God's side all the time. And begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Begin to cherish. Begin to appreciate. This passage teaches us that God takes delight in appreciation. Many Christians do not appreciate the little that is done for them. We do not appreciate anything. We do not appreciate anyone, let alone God. We talk about this great God that has done awesome things for us, but our lifestyle does not appreciate him. Don't forget. You see, there is a purpose of the memorial stones to remind them. When you look at 21 to 24, I'm going to read it. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry ground. Dry ground. Other translations say dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, what that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The hand of the Lord that is mighty. If God will do anything for you, it is for his own glory, not for my glory. If God will do anything in this land, it is for his own glory, not for any personal agenda, not for any political agenda, not for any person's ideas or ideologies, but for his own glory. And so, child of God, begin to understand that God wants to glorify himself, and God will glorify himself in your life so that people will see and know that indeed your God is a mighty God. However your relationship is with him now, you can begin to put it right. You can begin. Begin to teach your younger ones, your children, who this God is and how to relate with him. Not just that. Tell them the stories that they need to hear. Sometimes our children don't even want to know. You are telling the story. The kid wants to play. Find ways to make this. You see, to them, the stone was practical way that time. Today, it might not be the same. But you still have to find a practical way to educate your young one. You see, we played a video on the memorial. We showed footage of how people went to war and they fought and they won our freedom. We showed videos of Arlington Cemetery, all the graves that are there, the flags. We showed a video of president speaking and addressing the nation and stuff like that. This is all strategic ways to today point to the memorial. You have to find a strategic way, a more approachable way. You know your child, you know your family, to discuss and to let them know the goodness of our Lord Almighty that he has won for us, the goodness that has come to us through others till today. May God Almighty bless you as you do this. May God favor you as you do this. May God give you grace as you do this. May God strengthen you as you do this. And I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus that God will begin to give you wisdom how to relate to the younger generation now. Because we are going in a world where everything is on a different level. And some of our grown-ups, our fathers, our mothers, our aunties and our sisters, they are lost. They don't know how to relate to the younger generation. But we pray in the name of Jesus that God will give us ways and give us understanding as to how to relate with our young ones. And we shall begin to teach them the values of life in Jesus' mighty name. Child of God, wherever you are, however your relationship with God is, can be better. And you can begin to play your role in this nation. You can begin to play your role in your family. You can begin to play your role in our community. God has done a lot for us. For us to have the freedom that we have today. The freedom can be better and the battle is not finished. And so you and I must take on our spiritual role, our responsibilities, whatever it is that God has given us, that we shall play it in memory of who this God is, not what we want or are. Shall we pray, please?